Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a pleasure once again. Can I have my notes, please? My notes. Thanks for bearing with me. I totally agree with, I couldn't be sure who made that comment, that the feast has really gone very fast. And tomorrow, we're leaving? Wow. Okay. We thank God for the opportunity that we've had for the last 6 days, plus the previous night, if you were here. Some of the comments that I heard, one in particular, nearly kind of unsettled me in terms of the presentation we have for today. And at least there's one scripture that I wasn't going to comment on, but it kind of caused me to not be able to read it without commenting on that. So thank you, my dear young people, of which I'm the oldest. So I'm also a young person. I want to count myself as a young person. And so I am with you, and we are in it together. We have the title, The Crown Race. I usually struggle with giving titles, so it was between a number of things, and I settled on that. So it could be the race for the crown. Be a royal race, but the crown race. God's expectation of the royal family. We were introduced straight up on the opening night to all of us being introduced as the royal family. Royals. We belong to royalty. And that is something that we need to hammer home as much as we can in our very psyche, that we belong to the royal family. And so that position comes with expectations. And in that royal family, there are different levels in terms of age. So some people have gone in that family for a long time, others are following and in that order. But the expectations do not change. So whether you are as brand newborn as my dear Jessica, or you have been to the feast 50 plus, the expectations do not change. So I would agree with the young people verbalizing the tag of youth and that. Because at some point, when you make the commitment, we need to respect the age gaps. But in terms of what God is expecting of us, the same thing. Can you give me the next slide? What is the plan that we're going to follow? We're going to go through this crown race, the royal race. And we're going to do this race in three pictures. Or in pictures, I would say three. In pictures, three parables, and an admonition all from Paul, a gift of a tablet, and a long list, you can see that, of witnesses. We got some tablets here, and I'm hoping that everybody in the youth will have a tablet, and probably some adult. So this is how we're going to go through this race today. Let's move on to the next slide. I'm showing you a picture of Queen Elizabeth II. And beside Queen Elizabeth II are two gentlemen, different generations, age-wise. So we have Prince Charles and his son, Prince William. Both are in the same category. They are heirs to the throne. The same expectations, the two of them, if they are going to make it to the race, to that crown on the other side. Let's go to the next slide. We have this gentleman in that beautiful regalia, colorful. See where I get my colors from? He is the king of the Ashanti people in Ghana, called the Kingdom of the Ashantis. Now, so you see Otumfuo Osei-Tutu the second. Now, on his side, I can show you pictures of the heirs to the throne. Because unlike the British monarchy, you never know who would make it to succeed him. You can't tell. Never. There is a family, a royal family, the royal clan, called Oyoko. So it will definitely come from the Oyoko family. That is known. But in the Oyoko family, as to who is the next in line to Osei-Tutu's crown, you can't tell. So there are a pool of people all qualified, but it's only when he passes that the race begins. And you got to get in by your character. So we got these two kingdoms, and in fact, I belong to both of them. As a Canadian, I also belong to the Queen of England. So I've got divided loyalty there. All right. Now let's go to the next slide. We have already been introduced as belonging to the royal family, as a kingdom of priests, a king-priest nation, the nation of Israel. So, belonging to that royal family, royal nation, a peculiar people, this is the family we are here. So we are establishing ourselves as a family that is pursuing royalty, because we belong to a royal family. And then if we move forward, it is not for nothing that we just belong to a royal family. So we can move forward here, yes. Because we are receiving a kingdom. We also have a kingdom. We have a crown ahead of us, waiting. And so all of us are in the position of the members of Oyoko family among the Asantes. And we are like prince or princess, princesses, William and Charles. We have similar situation. They are looking forward to a crown that will perish. But we're looking for a crown that will not fade. That is the difference, big difference. But in terms of the positioning that they have with respect to the kingdom, we are in the same situation. So go to the next slide. So when we put God's kingdom as kind of a picture on the right, that is us. We are the people that are racing into that kingdom to take up the mantle of leadership, of rulership in that kingdom, the kingdom of God. Brethren, these monarchies, these couple of monarchies that I show you, when you go back to the slide showing Queen Elizabeth II and her two potential successors, I mean, one of them, it was just funny, the picture that I choose, where you look at Prince Charles and you look at his face in that picture, it doesn't look like he's ready for the throne. And you look at the young man, and it looks like he's poised for it. Recently, King Williams came to Canada last year, about a year now. And everything that happened when this 35-year-old young man came to this country, it's exuding the confidence of a king. He didn't walk here like Harry came to do a few days ago. Because Harry knows that he's not going to get it. Potentially he could, but he knows that these two guys are here. He's not like going to get it. He come and do his thing. But when William came, the pomp, the officialdom, is like just meeting the queen, the guard of honor, and then he take and the prime minister, everybody like submitting to this 35-year-old man. But they are not submitting to a 35-year-old man, they are submitting to a kingdom. He's just a representative of what that kingdom symbolizes. So when we gather like this, and so it was so appropriate, the opening night, that we need to respect one another, because I am in the presence of royal people, and you are in the presence of royal people. And you're not looking at me as Lois, or you're not looking at Jessica, you're not looking at Lewis. What do we represent? We represent the kingdom of God. So if God sent one of his ambassadors in your presence, how do you receive them? Brethren, we are heirs to an enduring kingdom. And that imposes on us serious expectations. Very serious expectations. And I might say that I may read something, so if you hear something, please, no plagiarism, because I've heard a lot, so some of your stuff will come in mind, right? So you may hear some things that you have heard before, and I may not give credit, but credit is due to God. When you see this, I'm reminding myself, don't forget the plus sign at the extreme bottom right. It's not us alone. Us and more. So there are more people in this royal family who are also in the race to the crown with us. So let's keep that in mind. So we truly are royals redeemed by the blood of the King, the Christ. What do we have on the next slide? So, brethren, if we are royals and we are heirs to the coming kingdom, is there anything that will cause you to abdicate? Would anything cause you and I to abdicate? Would something separate you from the finish line? Would something separate me from the finish line in this race towards the crown? My resounding answer is, of course not. We cannot abdicate, and nothing can separate us or should separate us from going into our inheritance. That is being glorified together with Christ, who is not ashamed to call us his brethren. So when we look at the image of the journey that we go through from justification, and then we go through sanctification in that walk to glorification, until we make it to the finish line. That overcoming life. How do we stay in that race? How can we keep up? How do we stay in the race to the crown? We've heard different things, but some of them bear repeating here. So, brethren, let's dig in straight, and this will be the scripture which we will be focusing on primarily. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. So as we are in this journey, keep in mind that overcoming experience, you can liken it to Joseph that we heard. Was he ready when he had a dream? He had to go through slavery, jail time, temptations in order to become a de facto king in Egypt. You can look at it from other angles that we have covered here. But the important thing is, whichever way we look at it, there are expectations. So we're going to look at this message that Paul wrote to Timothy. Some of it you see it being directly at Timothy. Some of it Timothy to direct to the members of the royal family. But whichever way we look at it, all of that is good for us. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So here, I only comment because of what the young people heard from the panel discussion. Our elders, people in leadership, will pass on roles to you. They will. But they're not going to pass on to just anybody. Paul says, you pass it on to faithful. Faithful. You got to be faithful to the faith. Faithful to the family. So that in itself is a huge responsibility. That you got to position yourself in God in order to be used of God. So let's keep that in mind. But that really, it's not one of the things that I really want to touch on. I want to speak from verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Sanctification to glorification is a long process. And to go through that process, you and I, in order to make it to the crown, we have to have endurance. We have to endure. And we are enduring hardship. Please listen. We are enduring hardship. So it's not going to be rosy stuff. I don't think we endure good stuff. Do we endure good stuff? We don't. We enjoy them. But if things are difficult, then you need the staying power in order to make it to the end. So we have to be able to endure hardship. And then Paul is comparing us, the three parables, comparing us to a soldier. The same way that soldiers endure hardship. That's how we have to endure hardship. And our brother in Toronto, he loved the Navy SEALs. And he always used them as examples. And I don't know anything about the Navy SEALs, so I'm going to try to tell you how much they go through in their training and everything to do what they do. But generally, we know that if you send men living in the comfort of North American lifestyle to Afghanistan, it must be hard. And they are, even in Afghanistan, they're not just going to live in one of the states. Is it Kandahar in Afghanistan? Or is it in Iraq?
You're not going to the city. You're going to hard life. The bunkers. The bush. Crawling. This is difficult life. You go into the water, whether it's minus 10, minus 5, minus 0, minus whatever it is, you go in. This is difficult stuff. So we need to position our mind and everything that the race we are on is not an easy one. But we can make it because we are not alone. But we need to position our mind that it's a difficult one. And then in Paul talking about the soldier, he said, no one entangled no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Apart from endurance, the other thing that we need to learn from what was written to young Timothy is that we need to be separate. Separateness is very, very important, because if you are in the army, you don't live your life among civilians. You live in Trenton. You live in Petawawa. You live removing yourself from the affairs of civilian life. How often do you see a soldier behind you when you're going to work, or beside you, or in the next seat in the train? When they get a release, then they are going home. That's where you see them messing up with you. Otherwise, you don't see them. Their life is different. Their life is a life of separateness. They have to remove themselves and live a totally complete life in the barracks. So in there, they've got everything. If I were ever going to the army, I want to be a cook. They've got everything. They've got cooks, they've got drivers, they've got doctors, they've got it's an all-encompassing lifestyle within. So it's a life within life. So if we're going to make it to the end of the race, if we're going to be glorified, we need to endure. But we need to remove ourselves from the world. Jesus Christ said, you are in the world, but you are not of it. So we need to be separate, because our Father that called us wants us to be separate. He wants us to be holy, to show the distinction between profane and holy lifestyle. So we need to separate ourselves from civilian life, so to speak, in order that we can make it to the end. The race is not for the weary. Christ said, he who endures, the endurance that we need, if we are able to endure to the end, that is when the crown comes. Or if we are able to overcome the hardships, that is when the crown comes. So the race is through hardship. But the end is joy. Parable number 2. Then Paul said, and also if anyone competes, my translation here says, in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to rules. Paul is not talking about athletics, because that's limited. He's talking about any competitive sports, any kind of seeking mastery in anything. That is what he's talking about. So I just want not to focus only on athletics. Athletics is part of it, but it's broader. So if anybody seeks mastery, if you want to do something, if you want to pursue excellence, this is the rule. That you don't get it, you don't get the crown, unless you do it based on the rules. So we need, in that respect, to be disciplined and lawfulness, law-abiding, staying in the rules. We got to be law-abiding. Stay within the rules and the written word. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we can go there and come back again. So 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, which we've been there before. First Corinthians 9, verse 24, and it reads, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receive the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul understands the comparison that he is making because he related to it in his own work. And so in trying to get to the crown, which is imperishable, we got to do it within the discipline that comes with that mastery. So if it's athletics, you got to be able to get up and do the training. If it's boxing, you got to be hitting the punching bag really hard and training your arms and everything that you would be strong enough to possibly knock down an opponent. So there are approaches and things to do, which becomes the discipline that you need in order to get that done. And then we need to do it lawfully in righteousness. There are rules for every game. Royal family, king, priest family, what are the rules for kings? We've been there. What are the rules for kings? Let's read. Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20. Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20. Also, it shall be, talking about kings of Israel,
There are qualities that they have to meet. There are things that they shouldn't do. And also, when that king sit on the throne, when he sit, the king sit on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. So if we accept, and rightly so, that we are royal family and we are kings, and we have to live as if we are kings. Because the life you will live when we are finally get the coronation is going to be the life that we live in now in terms of the values. We're not going to have higher values when we get there. And then there are, okay, simple things to do now. The values that we will live by are the values that we have to live by now. And so we need to be obedient to the word of God. First of all, you write your copy. So we say we're kings, right? So we need to write our copy. And I recently found out, which I am adding to the repertoire of things that I do with the word of God. Our brothers in Kogwa, Worldwide Church of God, Worldwide Association, on their website, they can send you on a monthly basis daily scripture writing assignment. So they bring it to you just like we do with the daily readings. And so every day, the scripture that they give you, you write it. And guess what? I don't know how long it's going to take, but at some point, you would have written the entire Bible. And guess what? When I went to the Bible study seminar, I learned that when you read the Bible only, you retain less. But if you read it and hear it, you retain more. There was no research on if you add writing. But I can guarantee you that if you add writing, it will even get higher. So let's add them. Young people, pick this. Go to Kogwa website and get that. I subscribe. It comes to me, but I don't do it consistently. And you are better than me. I know. Because the excellency that you've been displaying here, I couldn't have done it. And so, do that better than me. Because I'm not the standard. Set that standard for yourself. That you will read it, you will hear it, and you will write it. And see how you would develop in the Word of God. So, that's the rule for us as kings. And then parable number 3. Paul says, so we're going back to 2 Timothy. And we're going to be verse 6. He said, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. The hardworking farmer. You go to farm, and Paul is saying, because of your toil, because of your tears, because of all the work that you put in, you should be the first to get a crown.
But before you get the produce and start enjoying, you got to put in the work. You got to be hardworking. So hardworking is something we have to learn from that farmer. The other thing we have to learn from the farmer is that we got to be very hopeful. Psalms 126, 5-6, we usually say, sow in tears, reap in joy. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that go forth with bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So when you're coming with the harvest, when you are at the finish line and the crown is so bright and you get your clothes of righteousness and everything, you got it put together, you say, wow, this is not comparable to the problems that I went through. You can't compare it. Be hopeful that what we're doing would bear fruit at the end of the line. And that is the crown. Let's endure the race. And then Paul uses his own experience and he said, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. That's my prayer. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I, Paul, endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. So Paul uses the example and says, look, I'm not telling you to endure because I look at you and I don't like you and I want to sit in comfort and I'm saying you go ahead and endure. Say, yes, I do the same thing. But I do it because of the chosen ones. I do it because of the people in the family. Because of the royal people. I do it. I have a desire that they also will be at the finish line and get that crown. So once you are in the community, put in the same endurance, not only for your skin, because of me, and because of her, and because of him, and because of her, and because of him, and because of her. You put in that work because you'll have that feeling for members of your own. And you want them to be at the end of the line. Because when we read earlier, in some of these competitions, one person gets a crown and everybody else is crying. But that's not like ours. We all get it and enjoy it. So let's work together and be at the finish line together and sing praises. And then Paul continues . So Paul's own endurance, I should say, we need to sacrifice. That's a lesson from Paul's own experience, so we need to sacrifice. Verse 14 to 18, he quotes things here that are true, so I'll leave it as it is, because if we die with him, we shall live with him, and if we endure, we're going to be crowned. If we don't, he won't. If we don't go on the race, it's not going to affect him. He's still going to be at the finish line receiving others. He
he will remain faithful. But verse 14 to 18, it says, remind them of things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Here, if we stay with the rules that we have in the Word of God, diligent in the Word of God, some of you in your Bible, it will stay steady to show yourself approved unto God. I like the translation in mind, be diligent, because primarily it's important, but what Paul is saying is not just studying, like reading, and that's not what that study there is. Be diligent. It's something that you have to work hard at. So in order to please God, to get there, we got to be diligent, very, very diligent at everything that we do. We need to add discernment, because we've seen that these folks, name mentioned, they could have some people shipwreck. No, no, let's focus on the things that do not matter. Arguments that it's not yielding fruit. Ideas that we hear that sound good, but not based on the word of God. And here, let me say, mind yes. I love you, but let me tell you this. There's so much out there that seeks to make you go the other way. Get lost. Be shipwrecked. Not able to finish that race. There's so much. And you know it. You know some of them. Some of them do not come in a manner that you may know, because it comes with sweet sounding bites. There's a gentleman coming to Toronto, forgotten the date, but it's October. Sanguru. He's a guru. And I was on a platform and somebody sent me a soundbite, because he's been sending a lot of soundbites. Maybe you've seen it in YouTube or Google or something, because he's all over the place. It's of Eastern orientation, coming to Toronto for presentations. Inner engineering. And he's sending all this. And so he sent one soundbite, sounds so good. And a friend of mine sent it to me. And the moment I listened, I sent it back to him. I said, but do you know this man? He's not for you. He's against you. Because the things that he's teaching, even though the soundbite that you heard seemed to be sounding good, go to his website and find out what he stands for and whether you can work with him. I'm going to mention in a name, because I saw something here whilst we are here. And that's the only reason why I'm mentioning his name. There's a man called Anthony Robbins. Very, very influential man. Powerful. Has reached millions. Young people, don't go near him. Straight up. He will give you a lot of good things. 99%. He will give you 1% and shipwreck you. Don't go near him. Because I saw something
that he has succeeded to infiltrate us. And when I saw it, I didn't know anything. I've never heard the word apart from priming. It's a very big word. Apart from having painted before and say there's a primer, I didn't know anything called priming. And he's got a priming exercise. And he says, stop. And say, listen to your breath. Listen to this. And I said, what? And that's it's in the camp. That is in the camp. Young people, I plead with you, with everything that is in me, don't follow this man. He might give you something, but it's going to throw you off course. That priming exercise is a recipe for demonic influence. But it's very powerful in the business world. Billionaires are consulting him. Do we care billionaires consult somebody? What we care is the people who present the word of truth. So there are so many out there that we need to discern. There's a book that is so popular. Probably not printed anymore, but it's so available. Think and Grow Rich. Who doesn't want money? Think and Grow Rich. Just think and grow rich. So popular. So old book by a popular man who has influenced millions in the business world. But we can't follow him. Napoleon Hill, we can't follow him. Because if you read that book, the things that he would want you to do, he actually has conference with dead people. Channeling. That's so much. And these people will present things and it looks so nice. But you go deeper into the roots and you see, just like dandelion, you cut it at the top, you think you're done, it's going to come again. I learned that so well. I take my knife and cut everything. Everything is gone. The following year, dandelion. I say, really? You got to go deep to see the evil in the roots. How am I doing with time? How am I doing with time? Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We got assurance. God knows us. God knows those who are his. And those that God give Christ, no one can snatch from him. He knows us. Let's walk with that assurance that God knows us. He sees everything. Only he wants us not to walk the way of the heathen. He wants us to depart from iniquity. So we read 19. 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that is from dishonor, he would be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good works.
in the house. So look at the household of God. The same household was where Philetus and Hymenaeus, they were there. There are vessels that God can use and there are vessels that God would not use. Our job is to make sure that we be on the side of God, that we allow Him to cleanse us. Purity is important to Him. Our integrity is important to Him. Allow God to cleanse us from inside out. And when He has done that, we could be in His hands, vessels of honor. Vessels that He could use. So, back to the first comment that I made. If we pass in the baton, we pass into vessels of honor. Who could be used by the Master? Who would help others to get to the finish line? Because this is a difficult thing, and you don't want people who are just picking up brawls with others. The people who would encourage others and walk with them and get to the line together. And my last scripture here, comment here in Timothy 22. I love this scripture, and this is how I remember it. You know, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. And then you slot in Timothy in between the first between the first two twos. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee all youthful lust. Flee. If you heard somebody tell you to flee something, I think they are more serious than walk away from it. Would you agree? Or run away from it. They say, flee? You like this? You leaping like that animal, H-A-R-E. What's it called? I wasn't going to be able to say it, that's why I asked. You leap like that. Get fast. Get out of the place. Flee. Oh, youthful lust, immorality, out of the camp. Let's get it out. Please. There are things that bother me. There are things that will bother you. There are things that will bother you. Let's run away. And Paul is saying youthful. And I don't know why youthful is there. But we know that he wrote to somebody that was considered a younger man. So I'm suspecting that Paul is saying, it looks like there are some things that sometimes could be problematic for everybody, especially for some people. Just because you're young. So let's be careful, because I'm going to speak plainly here. Plainly. All right? No proverbs. I have a wife. Right? So if you see me looking at other women, you can quickly say, hey, you're married. What's the problem? But young men, you're not married. You're looking potentially for a partner. So you could be looking. But you got to get a good eyes to look. Otherwise, by the time you finish looking, you are destroyed. So we have to be very careful the way we look and the way we relate. Because this is our home. This is our home. We have to get to the finish line together. If there's anything that will not make you go or make you get there, let's work it out. And let's get there together. Now, let's deal with the tablets before I get to my last scripture. So the tablets. Who would want the first tablet?
Yes. You see, be bold. Come.
And who won the last one? You're not bold. You put it down. Okay, so I said I got some tablets here. And out of my heart, I give to you as many as can reach. Okay? So you take it, make sure as many as it can reach and beyond, give it out. Okay? I got vitamin C tablets for you. Okay, let's continue. So, frankly, tell me, did you think I was going to give a vitamin C tablet? What did you think? Electronic tablet? Okay, looking at the size of the box, it couldn't be vitamin C tablet. But you got vitamin C tablet. I didn't promise you electronic tablet. I promise you tablets. And I think everybody got tablets, right? And adults, you can take tablets, please. Everybody, gift of tablet. Let's please move to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to be finishing here. The race that we are on. You can bring that slide, that's okay. We are royals. We are kings. We have already said that, right? Write yourself the law. And as a matter of fact, God is the one who first gave us a tablet, right? When he wrote on the tablet, you think we invented tablets? He had a tablet before we thought about it. So let's take God's tablet, the law, the embodiment, and let's keep God's tablet carefully with us. When you are writing this, nobody can charge you with copyright. Nobody can say you plagiarized. Like, go full out. Write it and own it. That's my tablet. That is my book that you're going to be reading. But let's go to the end, Hebrews chapter 11. And we're taking the last two scriptures. But we've been here and we understand that in Hebrews chapter 11, we have all these men who have been in the same crown race that we are on now. Their names were mentioned. You can mention Abraham. You can mention Sarah. You can mention Gideon, Elijah, you see, because he himself, when he was writing, he got tired. He said, time, we won't have time to talk about all these. And so let's cut it short there. We can't go back. But you get what I'm driving at. All those men and women went through the race ahead of us and maintain a focus that they're seeking some glorification from God. And it wasn't yet, because God wasn't going to reward them apart from us. So he said, and all these, Abraham and Abel and Sarah, and all these people, They all had good testimony. They did what they were supposed to do. And they did it through faith. But they did not receive the promise because God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. God wants them to go and wait whilst we also go through the same enduring race to the finish. And then he will reward all of us together. Therefore, because these men have done all they've done, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by that great cloud of witness. So you can't say that you are in this alone. You won't talk like Elijah no more. You are not alone. You have people that are gone ahead of you. You have people that are in the race right now with you. So we have witnesses. And if we have this witness, please, once again, let's lay aside every weight, every sin, which will easily crisscross us and snare us, make us fall down and not be able to move ahead. Let us lay them aside so that we can run with endurance. We're back to where we started from. We can run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, please don't let anybody try to give you any other tablet. Not me, not anybody else, to convince you that, oh, I got some tablet here for you. And then you take your eyes off the tablet that you have, the one that you wrote as a king, the word of God. And then you go follow some other tablet. Don't let anybody convince you that there's some other tablet so beautiful, so electronic, so alluring that you want to leave the tablet that you have done yourself and follow it. No. You don't need any other tablet apart from what God has given you. So look to Jesus Christ alone. He is the standard of excellence. If you use me, you go this high. And who is the tallest here? If you use the tallest here, you go that high. And that's how you get. But if you use Jesus Christ as your standard of excellence, you go as high as the end of the race. So let's look only unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And because out of joy, the same endurance, he used the same endurance. Because some difficult challenge was also set before him. And he also went through it. And he finished it. So he's able urge us on. He's able to encourage us. He's able to hold us when we fall. He's able to lift us back. Don't be weary and let us run the race that is set before us. That is the enduring race to the end for the crown.